Okay, here comes the next recording. We haven't quite gotten to Santa Rosa yet. June 13th. Tomorrow is Lisa's 60th birthday. What a big number. She's going to be 60 years old. We're 6 years apart. I'm 54. She's turning 60. And, wow. That's a bit humbling. I mean, I have no claim on it, but just to have my wife turn 60 is stunning. You know, I think, boy, when I turn 60, how old is Lisa going to be? And you go, 66. And you go, when I get to legal retirement, you know, when I finally get to, like, my first opportunity to retire, get Social Security, quote, Lisa will be scratching 70. I don't know if Lisa plans on living that long. But, I sure love her. Golly. I love her. Oh my goodness. We were reading, Lisa had done a whole bunch of, what do you call them? Mini posters, signs, for the one before, for maybe 2 years ago, she had done signs for Valentine's Day. And the intent was that people would take them home. And I guess a few people took some home. Most of them were still there. And there's one up on the bulletin board in the Relief Society room. Well, it's going to not be the Relief Society room much longer. And talked about, I forget the exact wording, a relationship is when two people put up with each other for their whole lives. And you know, I think to a certain degree That's a good saying for Lisa and I. I always am saying something I probably should just keep my mouth shut about. But I know that Lisa gets really scared when I'm quiet. So I think she actually prefers me to keep talking, even if it's things that she doesn't really want to hear. Oh. And I'm always terrified that she's going to somehow come to her senses and run away. You know, I'll give her all the money I make, even if she's not around, you know, because that's my commitment. That's my commitment to her. But she hangs in there with me. And our children that we've had that are not the children she had pictured at all. And that's my fault. That's my fault. But she's tenacious. And God, do I love that about her. She hangs in there no matter what. Not that she hasn't, I think, given it some thought and come close on occasion. She hasn't done it, And that's all that matters, is she didn't do it. And that just endears her to me all the more, to know that she hangs in there with us. And that's a big part of our relationship, is hanging in there with each other. I don't ultimately know what sort of trials we're going to go through in the future. I can only imagine, if you've listened to the previous recording, I get this feeling that bigger things are on the horizon, and I don't mean exciting things. I mean more like, oh my gosh, challenges. But we just plug away anyway. That's what it's all about, I think. And doing it together. Well, let's see. I think I had something in mind when I started up this recording, but I can't recall what I was hoping to segue into next. I don't segue, because I'm rotten at that stuff. I was thinking, the last day or two, I've been pondering about how the word of wisdom might be different in its specifics in our day. You know, it was written back in 1830 something or other, and about what needed to be, what foods needed to be avoided, things like that. I only have a Book of Mormon here. Dang it. I can't look up the Doctrine and Covenants right now, nor should I, probably. Well, you know what? Yes, I can. Although, I need to be careful not to run into somebody. I think it's relatively safe right now. I'm going to look up my, the thing that I researched this morning, the thing that I read this morning. There it is. This is toward the beginning of the Doctrine and Covenants. It's a part that I think most people skip over, but I think is really kind of the important part. It's in fact, in the little heading, which people say, oh, make sure you read that heading. It's going to have important things to tell you in it. And I don't mean to be rude, but this is a really important part that is not mentioned on any level in those headings. It's in verse 4. So Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, 89, verse 4. And this is what this is kind of the reasoning behind the information given in the Word of Wisdom. It says, behold, verily thus saith the Lord unto you, in consequence of evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days, I have warned you and forewarned you by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation. And I stop there, and people go, well, aren't you going to go into all the stuff? And you go, no. This is the salient point in it. Not completely, but this is what I was thinking about, because these days especially,
we have to worry about the evils and designs which exist in the hearts of conspiring men. I think I'm part of a dwindling number among our Latter-day Saint community in Tucumcari that has chosen not to take the vaccine. Lisa and I haven't done it. We haven't had Matt do it. I think the only one of our kids who has, the person who's decided that she is going to basically the exact opposite of anything. Anyway, so she's gotten it, who would probably definitely say,
oh, you're evil, you're a sinner, you don't believe in taking care of other people, you don't believe in taking care of yourself, you know, and that almost constitutes a sin these days for that kind of a group. Okay, here comes my opportunity to either pull off and go the quiet way, or to stay on the interstate and go through Albuquerque, and I have decided to go through Albuquerque. Woo, doggy! That means I'll actually get to the blister slightly earlier than I would have otherwise, which I kind of think, you know, that was a good deal. There's still another opportunity. I can go to Moriarty, then turn south, go through Estancia, and then drive down to a Mountain Air and then across. That one's my next opportunity if the spirit kind of says, avoid Albuquerque. That's my opportunity to avoid Albuquerque. Anyway, so it's getting cooler. I'm so grateful. Beautiful day. It wasn't terribly hot. Yesterday, I think, was hotter? No, today's probably hot. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so yes. And so I was thinking, I said, so what do you think? Like, I think about Lisa and several people who start eating gluten-free. There's a friend of ours. He's done gluten-free for quite some time, and I guess he's kind of said, oh, I started doing some naturopathy stuff, and now I don't have to, you know, now I don't have to be so weird about not ever touching gluten. So, I was poking at Lisa, saying, Lisa, you should get with Andy and figure out what secret he's found. And she didn't seem very interested at all, except, you know, say, well, other people want to get out of here, which I think is hilarious, because the one guy who we were trying to get it done quickly so they could go on with their lives, he hung around. He was there for a while. And it's like, you know, I said, come on. Anyway, what differences would there be in a modern, in a word of wisdom that might be revealed by God in 2021? Would it still list the same things? Would it add some things? Would it take some things out? I don't know. You know, would it still say that wheat is for man with a growing number of people that seem to have real problems handling wheat products now? Apparently, we have so altered wheat that now it really isn't. It creates problems for people. there's a, I don't know if it's a big number of people, but it's a significant enough number of people that I run into. You know, I'm married to one, my branch president's one, you know, and apparently his son, he used to have some strange, interesting problems, and they thought it might be autism. And there had been some things that talked about how you could, in a dietary way, take care of autism. I'm not sure Matt particularly has autism. I think he fell down our basement stairs when he was a toddler, and that screwed him up. And although he has some facets of what we might call autism, I think it's just caused by he got his head screwed up. You know, we weren't paying good attention or something. Anyway, and yeah, he was when he had this bout episode, he went and started doing gluten free, and all of a sudden, he was great. He was back to being hey, in pretty good shape. And wow, isn't that wonderful? It just goes to show you how important what we eat is, especially in these days, I guess, with so much prepackaged stuff, with all kinds of interesting stuff in it. And frankly, how much we eat of it. You know, if you're eating thousands of calories of stuff that really doesn't have much nutrition to it, it would not be it would not be odd to consider that would magnify any effect. Usually just bad. Anyway, so it's just interesting. So yeah, would a more updated word of wisdom talk so glowingly about wheat as the 1830 something version of it did? It's like, well, I don't know. So that was something interesting that I looked at and said, I wonder, you know, I wonder if he would do a prohibition on carbonated soft drinks. I wouldn't think that meat would change any. It says that, yeah, you can, it's okay to eat meat, but it's okay not to, you know, do so sparingly, only in winter, times of famine, stuff like that. Let me see. There's all the stuff about tobacco. don't think that one would go away. Anyway, yeah. It's certainly been reinterpreted a few times. You know, mostly with a proviso that they say, well, we're not going to make lists. And you go, funny, that's what Christ did when he gave it, is he kind of gave a list. Now you can say, well, it wasn't a very specific one. And you go, in some ways, yes, in some ways, no. So yeah, it ends up being one of those things where, well, you know, we're not going to get on to people particularly. And you go, okay. It's an interesting thing. The keeping the word of wisdom is one of the requirements. Now, it doesn't say, it doesn't give specifics about what parts of the word of wisdom are more important than others. Other people have interpreted some. But when you go for a temple recommend, to go into a temple, you have to at least declare that you keep the word of wisdom. I imagine that means the big things. The big things are coffee and tea, tobacco. They've included illicit drugs. I think even though marijuana is legal in a lot of places, I think they kind of say, well, and that includes marijuana too. And it's like, oh boy, you know, how are we going to get past that? And you go, well, it's one of those gray areas where it's like, I don't think they're going to throw you out if you do it. Although I think they would prefer if you didn't smoke it, so that it really leaves this bizarre odor all over you. It's really distinctive. I think if you used an edible, and if it was, you know, and if it was medical marijuana as opposed to recreational, I don't think anybody would give you any grief at all. Even if you brought it up and said, hey, is that part of the word of wisdom these days or not? And you go, I don't know. It's not specified in the original. And the leadership has been very reticent to mention much else about it besides what was kind of pulled together back in, I think, the 50s or the 60s for a large degree. You know, hot drinks are coffee and tea. And they go, what about iced tea? And you go, no, it's tea. And then they go, what about green tea? And they go, I don't know. What about this tea and that tea? And you're going, I, you know, I wish it was a little more clear, but it's not. So, you know, so I don't really know what changes they would actually make. In fact, I think more recent attempts to talk about the word of wisdom are probably attempts to make it vague enough so that it's kind of future-proof. You know, people can shoehorn in whatever they feel like to basically throw it at a government and let them make the decision about what gets included as a word of wisdom thing and what doesn't is a little bizarre, right? You know, because it does, it brings the whole thing. Marijuana, definitely against the word of wisdom if you would have talked to people 20 years ago. Now it's like, yeah, and there's been, you know, I said, oh, well, you shouldn't do it unless it's medically prescribed. It's like, okay. And then you go down to South America, where mata is a drink. I don't have any clue what's in it, but people have special little cups with special little metal straws. People prize their mata cups and straws. They're decorated. It's, you know, it's almost like a decorative pipe. And people always have it. You know, you always have that cup with you, and you've always got some mata, and it's always ready to be sipped, and you're going, what kind of weird drugs are in that thing? And people say, yeah, there's something in it. It could be coca, you know, the base of cocaine. It could be any number of things. And it's like, well, so is mata okay under the word of wisdom? Or is it not? And I don't think anything has been said down there. You know, it wasn't contemplated. It wasn't a problem in New York State or Ohio or Missouri in the time of Joseph Smith. It just didn't exist. Therefore, what difference, you know, the Lord didn't say anything. And, at least my dad and his wife, when they came back from Uruguay, was talking, that was one of the things they talked about, was everybody there drinks mata. And the church just kind of turns a blind eye to it. And it's like, okay, well, you know, like I said, this caffeinated soft drinks are probably, you know, would probably be prescribed in a modern way. They didn't exist back in Joseph Smith's time. You know, energy drinks, those are new. Those are crazy, you know. If you think the bad thing in coffee is the caffeine that makes it a word of wisdom problem, energy drinks have a lot more caffeine in them than coffee does. Or I'm told that. I don't know if it's true or not. Anyway, you know, and you go, well, what does the church say about that? And every once in a while, there may be some 70 that will say, oh, I don't think, you know, that's definitely against the word of wisdom. But you never hear it from a, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude to the 70s, a real authority. You know? Somebody who is speaking for God at the moment. I haven't heard it from an apostle. Or if I have, or if one of them has said it, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a big thing. Regardless, so yeah. So I just have to revert back to 4, but I find that verse 4, in my view, has to do with a much broader scale of activities. I know that I think the problem with wine, because it was being used for the sacrament, and it even made a proviso that using it for the sacrament was okay. It was, but under certain circumstances. And I think it was because it was to try to thwart enemies of the church from poisoning the sacramental wine, because they would have to go out and buy wine for the sacrament. And, you know, enemies of the church were, you know, people go, oh, they would never do that. And you go, dude, they did far worse. It said the only thing that saved Latter-day Saints from being poisoned by their sacramental wine was that God warned them of it, and they stopped using it and went to water, which you can, you know, which you can get from a variety of sources. You can get from your own well with a reasonable expectation that it hasn't been tainted by evil particularly. Anyway, so now I don't know if that applies to anything else in the Word of Wisdom, although its placement there at the very beginning kind of indicates that is the one of the main purposes of the Word of Wisdom is to counteract the scheming of evil. You know, and you can think back to tobacco and how it was marketed, especially in the 20th century. All the way into the 1980s when I was still a teenager. You know, tobacco was still advertised as this sexy stuff that would make you cool. Back in the 50s, it was marketed as a health product. At least one cigarette compared to another cigarette. Oh, this is the safe cigarette. So everybody would run and go and start smoking that one, right? Because, oh, it was safe. You know, doctors would four out of five doctors recommend, you know, Camel cigarettes rather than Lucky Strike. Anyway, so, and you could see that was scheming, man. They were doing whatever it is it took. Most of what we understand about advertising and, frankly, psychology has to do with tobacco companies and soft drink companies, things like that, who were pushing this stuff. The sad part is now, you know, back in those days, it was all about trying to make it so the government wouldn't get in your way of selling your unhealthy product. Now, I think it's changed completely. There's so much corruption in government. You can't trust the government to do what's right. It's so in the pocket of lobbyists for various corporations that usually your government is not worried about your health. It's more concerned with protecting the kickbacks it gets from lobbyist corporations and such. That basically bribe Congress people to enact laws. Nobody knows what laws do anymore. Heck, half the time they're voted on before they're even written. So you don't know what they're about, or never will. And they're couched in such horrible language. And how they're interpreted by agencies is anybody's guess. Usually they just kind of leave it wide open. This is wide open for interpretation by whatever government agency we're giving it to. to take care of it. Here's how much money we're going to throw at it, and they can do it however they want to. And then it usually just kind of, it just becomes a money pit. And the money just kind of goes between congressmen and corrupt bureaucrats and their cronies. It's interesting that many bureaucrats, after they spend some time in government, end up being on the board of directors or the CEO of the very companies they were supposed to be regulating. It's quite interesting. And you know, and that's obvious stuff. They don't do much about it. Frankly, I don't know how you'd really do things about that. Anyway, so I'm trying to figure out, there's this really bright light. I guess that's probably a weather balloon or something. It's sunset, so things in there in the western sky really catch the rays of the sun. That's why they get so bright. I can't imagine it's a planet or a star or anything like that. But it's just right over the clouds over there. Anyway, so yeah, modern word of wisdom. It really makes you wonder what it might look like, what it might sound like, and what it might actually prescribe. And yeah, what would be the major word about stuff like gluten, which really tends to tell you don't eat by the word of wisdom? I always found it funny. I would be given a piece of paper to handle gout. Basically, you're supposed to eat a lot of low purine foods, and low purine foods totally go in the face of anything healthy. It's like white bread, I forget what else is on there, but yeah, it was just a laundry list of things that a nutritionist under normal circumstances would say, oh, stay away from that crap. And it's like, oh no, it's what you should take if you're gouty. And I think that's why most people cannot handle gout on any level with their diet. It's just not doable. I've worked at times to avoid taking allopurinol because I do not like going to see a doctor. I just don't. They're basically poking around, trying to find things to do to you. Well, you need to come back every 3 months like clockwork, you know. I need you to be the bedrock of my practice. I need to see you all the time to make sure, you know, everything's good. There's something to be said for prevention, but I think we've gone too far, and now we tend to attack things way too early. The body may very well handle a lot of the things, you know, and people will say, oh, you're being dangerous, you know, it's a sin, what you're doing is a sin, you need to go see a doctor on a regular basis. It's like, I don't want to go see the doctor on a regular basis. Unless I'm hurting. Unless something's going wrong. And if I don't know it's going wrong, I don't know it's going wrong. They'll say, well, you're going to get cancer. And you go, okay. Well, don't you want to do something about it? And you go, you know, I'm not going to cling to life that hard. It's just not interesting to me. anyway, so, okay. I pondered that, and I really tuned in to there to verse 4, which really tends to say to me, you know, when people say, well, you need to go get the COVID vaccine because of this. And you're going, you know, I'm starting to get the impression that it is the product of a bunch of conspiring men. That there's a whole lot more. Mark Wetton at church, he was saying, I think it's more politics than anything else. I said, I totally agree with you. Because I do. I said, and it's basically making a handful of very good lobbyists, extremely wealthy, coming up with all these things. We don't, you know, people talk about the flu vaccine. They come up with kind of a new one every year, and sometimes they'll even tell you, well, we're just kind of basing this on what we hope the flu is going to look like this year, you know, and they go, we don't know if it's really going to help or not, but they insist everybody take it, and you're going, I don't know what's in that crap. And you're going, why should I do something if I don't have anything? Well, this is prevention. This is prophylactic. And you're going, no, it's not, particularly. This is, it's somebody's guess about what'll be effective this next time. I'd have to say more often than not, they're wrong. We just have grown don't question it anymore. Oh, this is good for you. You go, don't know that. Don't know that at all. And COVID, even worse. Untested. Except by just giving it to everybody and seeing what happens. We don't know the long-term effects of this. You know, people say, well, everything's fine. You know, people aren't dying immediately. Or not a lot of people are dying immediately. And you go, for all we know, they'll start dropping dead in 6 months after it. Because the body finally gets tired of fighting it. And they talk about the genetic therapy is to kind of turn your body into this antibody factory. And you're going, wait a minute, that's what a virus does. You know, viruses change a cell to produce more of itself. And they have found a way to genetically do that, except they say, well, we'll give it the vaccine to duplicate over and over again when it takes over cells. And you're going, it sounds like you're just hoping that you're giving everybody a good cancer. That's what you're hoping for. And you're going, you know, I'm not going to play that game. That is not a game that is not a gamble I'm willing to take for something that a small number of people get that makes them ill. That a much smaller group of people actually die from. There is some evidence from some people who are quickly shut up that the numbers are inflated. There is, you know, there are some therapeutics that. Studies have shown that they are very effective at making COVID into nothing to worry about, and those are very quickly slammed down and shut up. It was always, we're going to have a vaccine, just hang in there, we'll give you a vaccine. And it's all, for me, it's all very suspicious and smells like evil and conspiring men who are doing this for their own profit and gain and power. And it is. A lot of those guys are simply drunk with power. And they say, well, it's the science. It's what the science tells us. And you go, dude, no, it's not. The science is not telling you that. Every statistic is going in a good direction. And you guys are getting weird about making sure that everybody gets a vaccine. And you keep saying, well, it's the vaccine that's doing it. But you have no proof of that. None. Zero. We could just be on the downside of that. Like every disease comes, spikes, and then peters off. There's every chance that this is just the normal petering off, and people keep saying, oh, it's because of the vaccine. And you're going, that's not even true. I was looking at a study that had been done all over the world. And by and large, when they started giving vaccines, rates of death, rates of hospitalization, started ticking back up. And you could just as easily say that it's the vaccine that's making that happen. We don't know. But they swear, oh no, it's not making that happen. It's just that COVID's coming back and definitely everybody needs to get the vaccine. Very, to me, extremely suspicious. So yes, am I getting the vaccine? I won't get the vaccine until I'm forced to. And I do. I sit and I say, okay, if my job is going to force me to take this vaccine, do I quit my job? It's a good paying job. There's going to be a lot, you know, there's plenty of reasons to say, oh, screw it, I'll just take the stupid vaccine. It probably won't kill me. But the chances of the vaccine killing me are better than probably COVID killing me. I'm not in a risk group for COVID particularly, as far as I'm aware of. I don't think of it that way. So, anyway. I don't know. But, and I tend to be the type that if I have doubts about something, I'll just avoid it. And usually things work out. So we'll just have to see. You know, people say, well, at some point they're just going to decide that it's not a big deal and we can just stop all this stuff. And you go, no telling that's true. If they really want to push that vaccine hard and make sure everybody gets it, oh, they're gonna say that unvaccinated people have to wear masks forever and that it will never end. And it's like, and what science is there behind that? And you go, as far as I'm aware of, there's zero science against that. And it's like, so, and yeah, and you go, well, you're supposed to be obedient to your civil authority. And you go, you know, it says, I'm losing my interest in this. I don't want to do this anymore. Anyway, so, there it is. That's, read Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, 89, sorry, it's Doctrine and Covenants, section 89, verse 4, and see what that brings to mind. And there's a reasonable chance that that the things that come to mind for you is something important for you to do in relation to the word of wisdom. Okay, that's all I've got to talk about. This thing's been going long enough. Have a great day.